Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What companies would you want to work for? Just Capital is a nonprofit that tracks which companies are a force for good. Companies like Bank of America, which just earned the prestigious Just Capital 2024 seal. Bank of America is ranked number one in the banking industry and number one for their ongoing commitment to workers, offering best-in-class benefits, including a minimum wage of $25 an hour by 2025. Visit JustCapital.com to learn how a just business is a better business.
Furnished by Just Capital.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports, with two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas and the Hawaiian Sports Radio Network. We're finally back. We're back in studio and joined, as always, by Armani Buckets, Brandon Deutsch, Jake Dicker. No G. Hay Wiley, but she'll be back with us tomorrow. How are we doing on this beautiful Monday?
I'm doing well. I was disappointed to see the Russell Westbrook and his agent news. I was hoping that, you know, things would get a little less tumultuous, but it looks like things are getting even more tumultuous. So,
yeah, we got to say that. Tumultuous on the radio every day. It's a word we don't hear all the time. No, I'm doing great. You know, it's a dead period now.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's showing on TikTok with Armand and I, not getting many views. No one wants to talk about basketball right now for the next 3 months. So we'll see what happens.
I'm excited. I'm going to the Home Run Derby tonight.
Oh, nice.
So I will be there for what should be an incredible night of
home
runs.
Yeah. Are you sitting in the outfield? Stars.
No, I'm up in reserve, like right behind the plate. So I'm like reserve.
That's even better. Two. That's even better, low key,
like
because
you can see everything. And
yeah, and what are the chances you get a ball anyways? You know,
yeah, in the outfield. Know. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be out there and have people like jumping all over the place,
throwing you over the into onto the
field.
Also,
if you're in the outfield, you have to pay attention on every single pitch, and I feel like I'm not gonna do that. So I'm excited.
About me with that, like I'm not an aggressive. Like I'm not going there with my glove. I'm not trying to fight someone for the ball. I just want to have a good time. So
I won't lie. I used to be like that, okay. But not anymore. Like if I caught a ball here, I'd just be like, give it to someone else. It's just not. I don't. Yeah, it'll be a madhouse out there.
That's going to be awesome. All right, with that said, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, Buckets.
All right, Russell Westbrook fired his longtime agent after a dispute about Westbrook's future. His former agent believes he should stay with the Lakers, which likely means that Westbrook thinks otherwise. LeBron James and Rich Paul both had somewhat cryptic tweets after the news broke. First, Westbrook sits far away from LeBron at NBA Summer League, and now he fires his agent after a disagreement. Is there something going on with this story, and what does everybody think is going on here?
So where there's smoke, there's fire. Something's happening here. By the way, very uncommon for something like this to not only, you know, he released a long statement. Usually it's like, we've parted ways. I wish him the best of luck. I mean, the guy went into detail how I think he should be with the Lakers. He didn't say what Russell Westbrook wants, but I mean, you can kind of, he wants him to stay with the Lakers. It's very clear. It is so clear at this point, Russell Westbrook cannot return to the Lakers. And this puts them in a tough spot because now every team in the league knows, listen, we got Rob Pelinka exactly where we want him. We are going to get not only one first-round pick, perhaps two. I think he has to get dealt. I think he will get dealt. This was a bad day for the Lakers because puts them in a tough spot. I mean, again, the summer league thing was ridiculous. I mean, you're sitting on the same court. You can't even, like, shake hands or pretend. Like, you, I mean, this is a very tumultuous position that they're in right now.
I think that was intentional by LeBron, by the way, putting pressure on Pelinka to get this deal done for Kyrie Irving. That's definitely why he didn't say hi to Russell Westbrook. But, I mean, it's looking more and more likely that this deal won't happen. You know, like, I mean, like,
he can't be with the team, though. I know what Darvin Ham is saying publicly, and he's doing his best.
Well, that's what he's supposed to do. Be a politician about it.
And I hate to use this phrase, but, like, it would be he would be a cancer in the locker room. Like, you cannot go into a season like that. And on the court, I mean, it doesn't fit. And I don't think you can John Wall a player who wants to play for you. But I don't know how you can go into the season with him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the roster opening night, actually. I wouldn't, because, like, I mean, think about it. This guy was a cancer on the court all year. A great human being, but on the court specifically, all year long last year. And they kept him. They could have traded him at the deadline. They kept him. They knew it wasn't going to work out. And if Rob Pelinka is so hell-bent on keeping picks that will select, like, I don't know, Scottie Pippen III. I don't know who's even going to be that age. Like, who? No one even knows if the prospects are any good in 27 or 29, right? Yeah. So, like, at this point, you've already put all your marbles into LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You got to go trade these first two picks, honestly. I know Kyrie's a cancer off the court, but, like, if he wants to play in the Lakers, at least for 1 year, he'll be locked in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that with Kyrie, if it's an NBA game, it would be a little bit more meaningful to him. But even with him saying he's going to play at the Drew League and then just, like, not showing up, like,
it's such a Kyrie, like, thing to,
like,
do.
Like, if you trade for Kyrie, like, is that, like obviously he's not just going to not show up for games unannounced, but it's just, like, that's the kind of guy that he is, you know? But with this Westbrook thing, it just feels like any sort of leverage that the Lakers created for themselves with what Darvin Ham was saying publicly.
Exactly.
And whatever they were doing to try and build up that, they're, you know, prepared for Westbrook to come back and have a way to make it work with him and his agent. This whole thing is completely, all their leverage is gone in terms of trades. I feel like if you're gonna make the Kyrie deal, just you gotta do it now. I feel like this is only getting worse the longer that Westbrook's on the roster. And if it doesn't look like you can, maybe you have to pivot to an Indiana Buddy Hield Miles Turner deal, and see what you can do there. But it just, I don't feel like they can be on the roster or on the floor at the same time on opening night. I feel like they're just gonna want to, like, kill each other. It's like it's not gonna work. Like, I don't see a world in where
that's why I said they'd win less games next year with him.
They can become a cohesive unit with Russell Westbrook on the floor. It's just the most, like, discombobulated thing. We're using big words today.
Wow.
Discombobulated. Like, it's just a great word.
It's just a weird.
The issue is the trust is gone. The trust. I mean, you can't. Right. I mean, this relationship can't continue. Russell Westbrook knows LeBron doesn't want him there. He tried to trade him at the deadline. Didn't work. At that point, that season was gone. They actually have a chance next season, and I don't know what kind of a chance, but you have no chance if you have Russell Westbrook on the team, and you know he doesn't want to be with there. He wants to get traded. He doesn't want to be on the same team with LeBron James.
This is where I disagree with you, Arash. Yeah. I don't think that they have a chance. I think that they have a chance if Kyrie Irving is on the team.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, okay.
I'm saying they don't have a chance with Westbrook, and not even the talent, and he doesn't fit. Personality-wise, when the trust is gone, he doesn't want to be there, doesn't trust LeBron. I mean, that team is... You can't have them be on the same team.
Like, I completely agree. And also, we also buried another lead. Talen Horton-Tucker is, day by day, in the Drew League, lowering his
trade. He's still a role player in the Drew League. Like, 14 points on 38% shooting.
Not a great
like, 14, display. 6, and 3.
So now's the time. You got to package Talen Horton-Tucker, two first-round picks. Just get the deal done.
Well, so Woj said this morning, I think the Lakers will make a deal, maybe more than one deal. It may not be for Kyrie Irving. It may not be for an all-NBA player or an all-star. It's not completely dead with Brooklyn, but I think so much depends on what happens with Kevin Durant. That's what Woj said. Yeah. And Vegas has the Nets as a heavy favorite now to keep Kevin Durant. I don't know about the Kyrie Irving odds in Vegas, but this all comes after also LeBron on the shop. I don't know if you guys saw what he said on the shop this weekend. It was a subtweet at Russell Westbrook. Are you guys familiar with what LeBron
said? What did he say? Like hits a cold game? Or was that?
That was Rich Paul.
Rich Paul. That but was, then LeBron.
The only thing I saw that LeBron said was about Boston and how he feels about Boston.
He said something about Boston. I'm trying to pull up the comment now. I mean, basically, he said he wants people that work as hard as him on the roster. Something like
that. Oh, I did see that. Yeah, he said he basically... Yeah,
well, I don't think Russ's work ethic is the problem. It's his inability to adapt.
Yes.
That's the problem. Russ is one of the hardest workers in the history of the game. He gets his body straight, you know, but that also... is the reason why he's pig-headed and won't adapt.
Yeah, but the one thing I will give him is that he does show up.
He plays. Yeah, he shows up.
He's there. I will give him that. For all that we dock him for, that is one.
He's there to win 20 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, he would fit on a team like the Nets, for example. Listen, I don't think you're going to have KD play with Russell Westbrook. I don't know where those two are at, but... this is not going to work. Russell Westbrook and LeBron James, as much as LeBron wanted it to work a year ago, and I still don't know to this day why he wanted that trade to happen, it is gone. That ship has sailed.
So with that Indiana trade offer that you proposed, Jake, how many first-round picks are we willing to give up as a group here? Because I wouldn't give up any. I mean, to get rid of Westbrook, maybe one, which I'm assuming is the case there. But I'm not trying to mortgage any more of the future unless I have a chance at winning a championship. And I don't have a chance at winning a championship unless the trade is for Kyrie Irving. And even then, it's obviously Kyrie situation. But I'm not mortgaging the future. Take a bad year.
Say they find a way to acquire Buddy Hield and Miles Turner and then find a way to, you know, acquire like a Patrick Beverley. Like, how many games does that...
Maybe 45 at most.
Yeah, so like I don't... Like, you're going to have to attach one to any Westbrook deal just to get a team.
No, but why?
Right?
They're going nowhere unless they get Kyrie Irving. They're going absolutely nowhere.
I'm
There's no way they beat the Los Angeles Clippers.
I'm just saying that's the reality of it. Is if you're going to get rid of Westbrook, one of those picks is good as gone.
Dude, even if they get Kyrie Irving, they're still not a better team than the Los Angeles Clippers or the Golden State Warriors.
I agree with you.
So, like...
You threw in Patrick Beverley. Now I'm enticed. Before it was Buddy Hield, Miles Turner. But if it's all three of them, you're getting him on a buyout or whatever the case may be. Yeah, it's still not getting you.
You guys made a bet. I think you guys made a bet in Las Vegas, right?
Oh, about Anthony.
Just one on Davis.
You guys downplay the Anthony Davis thing. It's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so like if he becomes a MVP candidate, they don't improve?
Well, Nikola
Jokic. That's not a minor addition.
It doesn't matter. They have nobody besides Cole Swider who can shoot on the roster.
Okay, but if you have LeBron playing like as one of the top five players in the league.
Okay.
And then the guy that you placed a wager on to win most valuable player.
Yeah, if there's any chance he's healthy, they're good. But
give
like,
me that. Like, if that happens.
It's never, I don't know, I don't understand the optimism. He's never going to be healthy ever, ever again, ever right. probably, ever. I
mean, you're saying his career's done. He's never going to be healthy again.
I probably.
Trust him enough to put money on it.
I mean, because there's a slim chance. There's a slim chance because he's been working
60
hard.
60 to 1.
But, like, even if he plays 65, 70 games and he averages 28 points,
I mean, you're not wrong, but it's not like that's not a small addition.
I mean, we're acting like if he's healthy, they're going to win the championship. There's still a 0% chance.
That's ridiculous. There's more than a 0%.
No, there's not. LeBron is not the same player he was 4 years ago.
LeBron had arguably the best offensive season of his career last year.
I know, but also you got to think about, like, they had Rajon Rondo, who's better at the time. They had a bunch of defenders. Their defense is going to be better this year and they'll have a better shot. I agree with Arash if Davis plays, but you're still not beating a team with depth like the Clippers or Warriors with just LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and a bunch of nobodies.
And
you know?
By the way, Vegas released their win totals. I don't know where the Lakers came in, but they weren't in the top six.
They shouldn't be.
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
But again, what are we talking about here then? If they're not realistically, without Kyrie Irving, a top six seed, even if...
Well, wait, I'm going to pivot on this for a second. Arash does have a point because there's the statistic that LeBron has never missed the finals with a healthy star. So if Anthony Davis is healthy, they do have a chance to get to the finals because they have LeBron James.
Get to the playoffs.
But I'm just saying him being healthy is
with
like...
LeBron James, and if a healthy Anthony Davis is on the roster, if you just get to the playoffs, I'll take my chances.
And then keep Westbrook and don't give up any picks.
Okay. That's what they have to do. That's what they have
Westbrook
to do.
Westbrook finals MVP.
I don't think it's...
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Can you imagine?
So the MLB draft took place at LA Live yesterday. It was just the second time in the history of the draft that the public was allowed to attend and the first time that it aired on ESPN. There have been initial positive reviews about the experience. Some of you guys were there in person. What was it like, and should the MLB do this in the future?
I had a great time. I did not know what to think, but I thought the whole thing was great. It was on two channels. You had the TV networks there. The biggest problem, and you guys can touch on this, nobody knows who these guys are. At least I didn't. I think the common fan does not. They don't watch high school baseball. They don't even watch college baseball. So, and the other thing, again, that you guys can touch on, like if I select a guy with the number one pick and he decides to go to college, like that guy's gone. So like there's, and then like even if you do draft a good player, that player's playing in single A, double A, triple A.
You don't see him for years.
Like I had a good time. I hope the league continues to do this, but the draft is a little bit different. It's not the same.
It is, and you really need a diehard fan to follow guys in the minors 4 years. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of takes that. But I think this is a step in the right direction. It was a good experience. It was really fun. They had nice music, good interviews. You know, it was fun. It was a fun draft, and better than anything, it was free. You have to pay to go see the NFL draft. They were just like allowing people to go sit up front and like enjoy the experience. And I felt like this was finally a step into normalcy for the MLB, because you can't be doing it in the studio anymore.
Right? Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that you don't know these guys for 4 years. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like their team is picking. People are going to be hyped about their team picking. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who he is. They'll figure out who he is in 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I think especially when you get guys who are, you don't know these guys, but the guys at the top, the 1-2 picks in the draft are sons of former Major League All-Stars. Matt Holliday's son Jackson went 1, and Andrew Jones' son Drew went 2. So I think that helps a little bit bringing in an audience. But yeah, that's the issue, is that half of these guys are high schoolers that the casual fan doesn't know who they are. And then you're not going to see them for 4 or 5 years. Like the Mets took Kevin Parada, catcher out of Georgia Tech, who went to Loyola, 11th overall, and their number one overall prospect is a catcher. And everyone's like, why are they taking another catcher? It's because you're not going to see these guys for 5 years.
Yeah.
And the thing with baseball, different from other sports, is if one of those two guys pans out, the Mets are happy.
Yeah.
Like if you're in any other sport.
Yeah, but that's a bad pick. They need to address other needs there. I love Parada.
You don't draft based on organizational need in the MLB.
I mean, when you take a college player, sort of, because you're in a championship window and they could be up in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, but then if he pans out, I mean, now with the DH, one of them can DH. You trade him for a
stud. Yeah, but neither of them. But if you're going to take a DH, then you take like a Jacob Berry. I know he wasn't available, or like a Kevin Brown or someone like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
I think it was a bad decision by the Mets front office to take a catcher there, especially a college catcher, as good as Parada is, because those bats aren't good enough to play DH if one of them's going to be catcher with Francisco Alvarez. You know what I'm saying? So maybe they package one of them. I mean, again, that's the only value for this pick. You package one of them in a deal to get a next star for the Mets.
Yeah, like, yeah, but I mean, as a whole, I think the draft, I unfortunately wasn't able to make it, but it looked like it was a great experience. It looked like they kind of, like it forever, it's been in the MLB Network studio, and it just kind of looks like they're not, I mean, there's like little like tables set up with like tablecloths for every team. It just looks like it's really, they don't put a lot of effort into it.
Looks real.
It looked like a big production, and it looked like they kind of cared a little bit more this year. And I feel like if they do this
and
every year, well, the draft used to be in June.
Yeah.
And I don't love it this year, or how they've been doing it in the last couple of years where it's so close to the trade deadline. But I think, you know, it's better than what they've done in the
past. I disagree. I think it's great to have it on All-Star Weekend, because I think it brings a bigger spotlight to it, you know,
being with all the other events. I think having it looped in with the other events is great.
It's like what Arash said about the WNBA, like putting it in the summer league.
That would just combine the two.
Exactly, right? So, but my thing is here, the MLB did a great job bringing the Tennessee coach and the Vanderbilt coach on to be commentators yesterday on ESPN and MLB Network, because that kind of brings more traffic to the college game as well, right? So that was great.
The Portland Trailblazers won the NBA Summer League Championship, and now they have a ring to show for it. What are all of your thoughts on the team receiving a trophy and rings after winning the Summer League Championship?
This is ridiculous. What the heck do they need a championship ring for? It's a 2-week summer tournament for like draftees, first-year players, guys trying to like make a team. This is ridiculous. Listen, like if this was a season-long thing, this is a 2-week summer tournament that, again, these guys aren't going to be together. This is like a hodgepodge of players, right? Like it's some of your draftees, some guys that you kind of want to sign. I mean, if you want to give them a trophy, it's okay. but these rings are ridiculous. And they're massive rings. They're like NBA championship rings. What the heck?
And they're valuing this. And it's like, at the same time, it's like, who cares? Like, the Trailblazers had the best team because they had Watford and Williams and guys that, and Keon Johnson, guys who played serious minutes in the NBA last season playing for them. That's kind of how you win, right? The Kings did it. Remember a couple of years ago when they had like, who was it? They had like Harry Giles and a couple other guys that were NBA vets.
The Pistons were going to do it this year. If you looked at their roster before, it was like Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Cade Cunningham was
none of them
roster.
Played. Yeah,
none of them played, but it was just like,
well, Killian
bringing out everybody. But yeah, giving these guys rings, I mean, especially when half of like the top players in the league, they play two games and
then they're done. It's like Paolo played three.
I don't know what we're celebrating here, you know?
it's ridiculous. And not only that, I don't know why Summer League needs to be like a 2-week event, because everybody's basically tuned out after
it's
game
just
three.
After week one.
Exactly.
It's why does it need to be 14 days does or it? Whatever? Like, it's ridiculous, because legitimately the most exciting part of it is that first, like, 2 days, and then everybody's like, all right, I'm kind of over it now. And then it just goes on for 2 weeks, and I genuinely don't know what they're evaluating at that point. Like, what are you evaluating at the end? Is it for the EuroLeague teams? Because none of those guys are really, I mean, Wiseman was out there yesterday, so some of them will be on an NBA roster, but it just seems so pointless at that latter stage of it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, people go there for the first weekend. That's when all the events are, the schmoozing, the networking, things like that. The fact that it's a 2-week event, condense it, get rid of the championship rings. I mean, it's just like a joke, like, I think. But listen, if they want to spend money on a championship ring, you are in Las Vegas, so have a good time doing that, right? All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend, David Bloom. I can imagine Brandon has a word or two for a good friend, David Bloom, when we return right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Fan in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Let's go out to the Circa Sports guest hotline right now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit Circa Sports. Sports.com for details. And here he is, our good friend David Bloom. David, how are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
Good. We got the All-Star a week in Los Angeles. We had the celebrity softball game. We didn't even touch on that in the first segment, which we will.
You might as well just call it the Bad Bunny concert.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. By the way, like, I mean, I'm so glad he at least tried to hit once. I mean, he was bringing up all these other people. But, David, going into the break, your thoughts on the All-Star game being here, and we will have to talk about your beloved Los Angeles Angels in a moment, but your thoughts on this week?
Well, you know, for any sport, the All-Star game, All-Star week, weekend, whatever it may be, it's always mixed. Like, it's fun. You have a good time. It's a celebration of the sport, but there's also been a lot of problems with it just in regards to voting. I know every year it seems like there's always way too many snubs and way too many guys not playing, you know. We had a lot of replacements, a lot of guys. If you look at the starting lineup and you're like, okay, and baseball has this, I wouldn't call it an issue because at the end of the day, it doesn't affect much. I mean, it's just the All-Star game. It used to actually affect stuff. If anyone remembers that, it used to determine the home team of the World Series, which was ridiculous. But they're all fan base or a team did votes a little harder than the rest. And it seems that it was back in the day with the Royals and the Cubs, and now it seems with both the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And it's just, it's voting, it's fans, and how it's how it works. But it's still great to have it in Los Angeles. You know, to have it at Chavez Ravine, to be able to have that gorgeous view on top of that, you know, on top of the mountain, to look at that city, to be here. I mean, you know, we've had the NHL All-Star Game here recently. We've had the NBA All-Star Game here recently. But to have baseball here, you know, football is a long shot to really put that in L.A. That's, you know, Pro Bowl to Pro Bowl. But it's one of the best All-Star Games. It's a celebration of baseball. We get the Home Run Derby, which is personally my favorite all-star event throughout any of the sports. And I'm personally excited for it. You know, we're going to get to see, hopefully, you know, there's some thoughts that maybe Kershaw will be able to start here. You know, you got some LA guys coming back. There's a lot of guys that played for LA that are coming back. Even in the celebrity game, you got some tension. Hunter Pence hitting a home run, ripping his shirt off, revealing the Giants logo. It's a great city. It's a fantastic All-Star game, and it was supposed to be here, remember, a couple years ago. COVID happened, changed everything. I'm so glad we finally get to have it here.
Yeah, David, I wanted to ask you about Taylor Ward and a couple other snubs from the All-Star game. I know the Angels are just gosh awful, 14-15 games under, but I mean, this is a guy that's still top 10 in OPS. Did you think he deserved a selection considering he came out of nowhere, wasn't really a great hitter until this season?
Oh, absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind with the impact he's had on the game, the stats he's been able to put up. I know he's missed some time, but it seems that, and this is a trend, not just him, but this is a trend. There always seems to be snubs. And to me, he's one of the biggest just because, you know, he's the way he has impacted the team this year without really any expectation for him to do so has been tremendous. You didn't expect Taylor Ward to be that type of guy. You know, you expect your Trouts, your Rendons, your Walshes, your Otanis, but to have Taylor Ward be able to come in and be the leadoff guy, maybe hit deeper in the lineup, he's been incredible. And if you want to look back to the only part of the Angel season which was remotely bearable, the first part, he was a huge, huge factor in wins against pitchers like Shane Bieber, in comebacks and extras against Boston. He was able to carry that team. You know, he had a two-home run game, the only two runs in a win against Cleveland, I mentioned against Shane Bieber, which just incredible grand slam moments. Of course, the Angels season, as a fan, you kind of get apathetic towards it. You know, Mike Trout's got dealing with the back injuries and Rendon's out and this and that, and Ward's coming in and out and trading guys. As a fan, I will speak personally, you kind of stop caring. Like, whatever, we're not making the postseason. There's no turnaround. Let's pack it up and focus on next year, I guess. But as an analyst, as someone that watches the game beyond, you know, being a fan, Taylor Ward absolutely deserves an All-Star nod. And he's one of many, many players that even before the injuries, you know, some maybe have been added later, but there's too many stumps because there's not enough spaces and there's too many guys that get that hometown vote that puts them in the starting lineup other than guys like, you know, we saw Riley and then France had to be added late, Freeman, and stumps are all over the place, but Taylor Ward absolutely deserves a spot in the All-Star game, and I'd be shocked that if he's not the next injury replacement, barring some crazy nothing on the AL side, I wouldn't be shocked if he's that next replacement.
David, this year for the first time, Rob Manfred added two what they're calling, I think, legacy selections in Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera. Do you like that, or do you think that, you know, this should just be reserved for guys who have earned their spot in the game?
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's a game that has no meaning. It's an exhibition game between a group of voted in players. At the end of the day, what does it really affect that much if you add these legacy guys? I think it's fantastic. And keep in mind, Albert Pujols is not having a bad season. He's not in a zero for the Cardinals. He's been an impactful player, and Miguel Cabrera's on a team that's not as good as the Cardinals, right? They're not in contention like St. Louis is, but he's not having an awful season either. They're not having their peak, but I'd love to see them in the All-Star game. We also get Albert in the Home Run Derby, which will be neat to watch. It's a celebration of two talents that really impacted the game of baseball better than so many others have. You have two champions. You know, it may not seem like it, but Miguel Cabrera is a champion. And to have them celebrated in this way, it's such a nod to what makes baseball great. And I would love to see this every year for guys that may not be themselves on the brink of retirement, wouldn't make the All-Star game nationally, but I mean, Albert showing up in L.A. for both the Angels and the Dodgers fans will be nice. Miguel Cabrera, everyone loves to see him. I love it. I think it's fantastic for the game of baseball. And it's one of the many steps forward I'm seeing in baseball right now.
David, I got one more for you. The Futures game was held at Dodger Stadium on Saturday. I am of the belief that the Futures game should be held after the All-Star game, kind of in that 2 to 3 day dead period with no football, no hockey, no basketball, kind of highlight these guys a little bit more, not being played, you know, at the same time as other Major League Baseball games. What do you think of that? Do you think that they should move that, kind of highlight these guys and help grow the game a little bit?
Yeah, push it like a day or two. Push it like 2 days. Let the regular teams play out, and let's get more eyes on this Futures game. You know, we get that in basketball, right? There's not other events going on during the Rising Stars game, the rookie-sophomore game. We get that, and that's a big deal. You know, you still see clips of John Wall and Blake Griffin highlights, you know, of Deion Waiters and Tim Hardaway Jr. Those are iconic highlights. You don't get that from the Futures game, because as cool as it is and as great as it is to see some of these future stars, I mean, these are some really, really impactful names that are going to be all-stars in a couple of years.
Yeah.
There's no memorable moment except for maybe that 100-mile-an-hour throw from short. That's great. We'll forget about it in 2 weeks because no one watched it. And that's not anyone's fault but the fault of Major League Baseball for putting it during games. I know none of these guys are actively playing right now, but give them a little bit more time. The Futures game is great. And at the same time, you know, they used to do Futures game, right afterwards you put the celebrities in. Give them all their own slot and time, and give those young players, those future stars, the respect they deserve a little bit more. You know, it's great to see them in the game. You love to watch this, like, minor league before pre-minor league all-star game, but I agree with you. I want to move it just a day or two. It's a day or two just to give them more of an opportunity to make that lasting impact like they've given them in the NBA. It's a respect level that I think needs to change, and we're kind of seeing that level of respect for players' talent, and especially with minor league baseball players. I mean, you know, you had that big suit, and now we're seeing that respect grow, and I feel like we're on the right track, so let's continue it.
All right. David, I wanted to ask you about all the all-star additions before we get into the Angels. First, like Jake mentioned in the first segment, now there's like 80 all-stars.
Yeah,
you know,
like 80. It's like 10% of the league.
Freddie got in.
All-stars. At a point, it's, you know, what does it mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. So, I mean, you don't like this, obviously, right? But Freddie, I mean, I'm surprised Freddie and Riley, it took them like a week to add them. And they already had Jeff McNeil and Starling Marte in the game, who really haven't had great years. I mean, that made no sense to me. Riley's probably top three in MVP candidate right now for the Braves.
This is the story that I've seen for the past decade in the MLB All-Star game. The same thing. You know, you always have your guys that are starting that you're like, where the hell did they come from? And you have, snubs all over the place. Riley absolutely deserves the spot in the starting lineup. Freddie Freeman's been excellent this year. You know, he's a Hall of Fame caliber player. I believe he deserves the start as well. A lot of guys get snubbed. Dylan Cease got a snub. Taylor Ward got a snub. At a certain point, you know, it was hard to even get, I'm not even sure where he sits right now, but Rodon from the Giants. And
he got in.
There's no sense of talent assessment. Like, there's no proper judge of talent for the All-Star game, because that's not what it is. And when we stop thinking that it's a who's the best player competition and a popularity competition, then we can kind of change and say, all right, well, are these snubs? I mean, obviously, but, you know, you have Jeff and Neal, you got all, you know, Kirk and the Blue Jays and the Yankees and Trevino and them. Is this a who's the best competition, or is this a who's doing the best in the league? Because you always see those better teams, like the Yankees, like the Dodgers. They always seem to accumulate more All-Stars. You know, when the start of the Blue Jays, and they're kind of in that mix a little bit, maybe not as much, but they got a strong fan base. You saw it with the Cubs when they were really good. You saw it with the Royals. I mean, that 15, 16 games, so many players from the same team in the starting lineup. It seemed that Salvador Perez every year, right next to Javi Baez.
Yeah.
You know, on opposite teams at that point. But it's a fun weekend. It's a fun weekend, or weekend, so to speak. You know, it's a fun event, but it's a popularity contest, and just gonna have to be what it is. And eventually, we're just gonna have to get over the subs, because they're never gonna stop. There's, as it feels, there's too many spots. There's also not enough spots, so there's always gonna be snubs. Even though you're right, like 10% of the league makes the All-Star team.
Yeah, David, I wanted to ask about the Angels here. What's your prediction for this second half with this spiraling out of, you know, just awful team, the worst team in the MLB by far over the past 2 months? What are your thoughts of how this year ends for them? Do they at least win more games in the second half, or does it kind of continue? And what are their plans at the deadline? What do you think they do in the next week or so, 2 weeks?
You know, they just do what they've done every year for the past close to 10, a little less than 10. Get to the deadline, you sell those little breakout stars. Now, they did it with Tommy La Stella. He's kind of my, you know, my go-to of the type of guy you sell when you're not doing great in this league. And then they just kind of spiral out. You know, there's not a lot to it. Maybe Shohei will be an MVP candidate. Maybe Mike this and that. It doesn't matter, because they are not making the postseason, especially with how poor they're doing. And you kind of just, as a fan base, you say, all right, what do we got to do next year? You know, it really felt like this year wasn't necessarily the year to win the whole thing, but it was the year to be above 500, to make it to the postseason, to be an impactful baseball team, not a team that loses almost 30 games since late May. It's a tough thing to watch as a fan. I'll speak as a fan. It's a tough thing to watch. And why we all still have hope, I'm not sure, because it seems to be crushed every year. But there's nothing for this team to do, even though it looks like there's everything for them to do on paper. It seems like they got it on paper, but all the injuries and all the chemistry and the pitching and the coaching and the changes, it does not carry over to wins. And sure, maybe they'll win more games in the second half. It's not going to matter. They put up absolutely zero fight every game. There's no sense of a comeback. There's no sense of holding a lead. There's no sense of urgency. And as frustrated as the players may be, they're content in, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, speaking for them, but there seems to be a sense of contentment in letting the season kind of fizzle out and focusing on the offseason, maybe making any sense of a bigger move, and not a sign an Anthony Rendon to a massive contract bigger move, but go get some starting pitching. You know, go bolster up that bullpen. Maybe change your pitching coach. Maybe Wise isn't working out. Get some back-end roster guys that you're going to be able to throw in the starting lineup 7-8-9, 6-7-8-9, even though they're going to be able to hit the ball. I mean, one Andrew Velasquez home run every now and then isn't going to isn't going to cut it. And you're having games where you're scoring one run, two hits, no runs even. That's because, you know, you have guys, and credit to Renhifo, he's really stepped up this season, but before Wade got traded, Wade, Velasquez, even Marshawn and off day, Suzuki, these guys are not hitting the ball well. Duffy, he had one 4-for-4 game and then never did anything remotely close to that again. These players are not going to cut it. And the minute that you accept that and focus on guys that can give you a little bit more spark or give the young guys, you know, this is a second half of the season to really let the young guys play. Stefanik, McKinnon, Adele, let those guys have a crack at it instead of just playing the guards and playing VR. It's great. Having Jonathan VR on the team is an excellent veteran presence, but give me some guys that are actually going to be in your future instead of starting Juan Lagares in right field when you could call up Joe Dow. You could sign somebody that's younger. They've got some decent farm system guys. Bring those guys up. You know, we saw a lot of their talent displayed, or at least Bush displayed in the Futures game. I'm excited to see what those guys can do, but for now, you're left with big contracts on guys that stay injured and big pitching contracts that Brandon, I know when we last talked in person, you were quite frustrated with, and I absolutely have to agree with you because the way they've turned out, Luke, DePera, Syndergaard, even though Syndergaard's had a better year than the other two, in my opinion, Iglesias' big deal, Archie Bradley, it's been ridiculous. It's been tough, and there's a lot of guys that you can get for much less than that. There's a lot of guys you can get that are better than that, but the Angels right now, they got to work on growing their players because that's how the best teams get better, the Dodgers, the Astros, the Yankees, the Mets. How do you get a great team to be better? The farm. And what do the Angels not do? One, have a great farm system. And two, utilize it. You send a guy up for a little bit and he fades away. Get that farm going a little bit more and they're starting to do that. Maybe the second half of the season will be of some worth.
David, final minute here. I just wanted to get a quick transition into NBA. James Harden, there's been a lot of talk about him taking less than the max contract that he could have gotten, and this was a quote from him today. I wasn't right last season, and I still almost averaged a triple-double. If anybody else had those numbers, we'd be talking about them getting the max. Now, my question for you is, with all this talk about the Sixers and Harden, do you think that this team is a legitimate title contender? We got about 45 seconds, David.
They are. They're not right now. I think they need to make some extra roster moves, but James Harden is playing like a quarterback right now, letting his team go and sign some offensive linemen, and I'm impressed by that. I'm impressed by an absolute superstar player being able to take a pay cut for the sake of a championship. It's going to take more for them to be a contender, but I like where they're headed right now.
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be very interesting, how the Sixers do and what happens with the Lakers, if they make any moves, what happens with the Nets. I mean, the Nets is the craziest thing. I mean, do you bring KD back? Do you have to bring KD back? Does Kyrie come back? How does that look? Do the Lakers say, listen, screw it, I'm going to take a page out of Les Snead's book and say, F those pick, and we're going to go and get Kyrie. So, David, you're the best. We'll talk to you next week. That's all the time that we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted,
where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.